Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you so much for listening. We are halfway home on the drive. Carrington Harrison here, Brandon Kiley here, Brad Fanning here. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back into the Ian Kennedy contract of it is bad for your Kansas City Royals. We'll also give you a little bit of tips from Brad, the love doctor. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour as well.
I got some don'ts as well as do's.
Ooh, that's good. I mean, sometimes tips are things that you should not do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And coming up in just a little bit, Fanning thinks that John Elway has morphed into Carl Peterson. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. I love that there's somebody on hold already to play the Carrington hypothetical game, and they have no clue what the question is. So I created this game. It's the most popular game in Kansas City, if you haven't heard it, where basically I just come up with a nonsensical question that can't happen, and we just talk about it on the radio.
Okay.
So, Brandon, if you hit the music that I have created for myself, I made this music myself. I went in a studio.
It's really creative.
And I hired an orchestra, and I created this music.
Did you go to Tomba's studio, and is that where you guys
did it? Money Bo.
You didn't sit down with Tomba Juice?
Me and Money Bo actually made this.
Okay.
This is question one, if you guys want to call in.
He's a rap lead, right?
913-576-7610 for the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game. Your team is 2-14. You have no quarterback. Who would you rather have be the general manager of your football team? John Gruden or John Elway? Your team is 2-14. You've got the number one overall pick. There's not a quarterback to be seen on your roster. Who do you trust to turn your organization around? Fanning, we'll let you play first. Who would you rather have as the general manager of your football team? Is it John Gruden or John Elway?
That's a really, really good question, man. That's why this game's so popular, isn't it?
That's why it's the most popular game in Kansas City.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to go with. And I don't like either one of those choices, which, of course, is the point of this game. I'm probably going to take John Elway, as much as I killed John Elway about picking quarterbacks. But he may get the pick wrong, but down the line, I believe that John Elway could possibly go out and snag another Peyton Manning-type free agent if it ever comes available. So that's why I would do it. Because if I look at John Gruden's quarterback that he's had, with the exception of Rich Gannon, you know, who we coached to the MVP, hadn't really developed any guys. Been tough on young quarterbacks. So I'm taking Elway.
All right, Brandon, we will allow you to play the game next. It is Carrington's hypothetical button game. Your team is 2-14. There's not a quarterback to be found. Who would you trust to be the general manager to turn things around? John Gruden or John Elway?
I'm going to go ahead and give you a list before I give you my answer. Mm. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch,
okay.
Brock Osweiler,
mm.
Case Keenum,
mm.
Joe Flacco.
Mm. I know that list.
Another one.
Those are the starting quarterbacks for the Broncos since Peyton Manning left. I'm going to go with John Gruden on this one because I don't get John Elway.
Okay.
He drafted Tim Tebow too, didn't he, Elway?
I think he was the year after Tebow. I could be wrong. Yeah. I think he was the year after Tebow. All right. BK, if you can turn the music down. Because we're coming back with the music in a little bit. Don't worry.
This is getting serious.
I've got another one. Oh. We'll go to the phone line. Rick, you know what? You were the first one to call, and I appreciate you. You called before you even knew what the question was. All right, Rick, who are you taking to run your team, Gruden or Elway?
I'm smashing that Gruden button.
Why?
Because Fanning picked Elway.
Okay.
Did you call me a dumbass? Is that what he said?
He said Fanning picked Elway.
Oh.
I can't really fault that. I mean, more than one of you could press the button. It is possible.
We both realize there's no right answer here, correct?
I mean, the best your team can do is 6-10, regardless of what button you press. All right, Luke, in North Kansas City, who are you taking to run your franchise, Gruden or Elway?
I'd take Gruden. I'd take Jay Binkley. I'd take anybody besides Elway. Reason being is it's just the same reason why Ted Williams wasn't a good a good baseball coach. He couldn't understand when somebody wasn't able to do what he was able to do. I think that's the problem with Elway. He doesn't understand how to, you know, work with young quarterbacks that don't understand what he was able to do.
All right. Good phone call. We appreciate that.
You could make that same argument for John Gruden over the course of his time when he was in Tampa, awful with young quarterbacks.
All right. We'll take one more. We'll take Rick and Lenexa. We've still got one more. I've got another question for you, but Jeff and Lenexa, we're the last one. We'll let you play the Carrington hypothetical button game. Your team your team is 2-14. You don't have a quarterback. You got the number one overall pick. Who would you rather have be your general manager, Gruden or Elway?
I'm taking Gruden for this. I mean, the other callers kind of mentioned it, but Elway has failed 5 times now in quarterbacks, and you can't have a 6th shot at failing. But also, Elway's one of those guys, he's going to compare everyone to himself and say, how would I do this? How would I do this? The game has changed so much since he played that he's not looking for a quarterback to play in 2018, 2019, 2020. He's looking for a quarterback to play in the 1990s, and he's not there anymore. And I'd give Gruden a shot because over that same time frame, he's at least been watching young quarterbacks developing, mentoring them, kind of saying, hey, I talked to this guy. This is what they were thinking. This is how he turned out in the NFL. But yeah, he may not be good 20 years ago, but he's at least got some more insight to what they're thinking prior to draft and watch those guys develop. So I'm going Gruden.
All right, Jeff and Lenexa, good phone call. All right, you know what? I'm going to pick John Elway for this very simple reason. I don't want anybody picking my team that would trade Khalil Mack. If you can have a potential first ballot Hall of Fame defensive player, multiple-time defensive player of the year, and you would trade him, that's not somebody I want. When I saw Amari Cooper, when he got as far away from John Gruden as possible, he looked pretty capable. I don't know if John Gruden can build your team. Now, I actually think Elway can build a team. I think Elway's put together some good draft picks. Philip Lindsay's a good draft pick. Cortland Sutton's undrafted. A good draft pick.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, you at least brought him into the fold. I give you credit for that. I don't fault that part. Now, he can't get the quarterback right, but he can get the other stuff right. I don't know what else Gruden can get right. So I'm going to pick Elway if I got to pick out of those two.
Me too. John Gruden had Brad Johnson when he went to Tampa Bay, and who's essentially Trent Dilfer, correct? Veteran quarterback. Then he drafted Sean King. He drafted Chris Sims. You know, Gruden cannot develop young quarterbacks. At the very least, I think at some point Elway's going to get it right at coach. And if that's the case, I'm better with that. And I'm with you, man. At least we've seen in Denver that Elway can put together a good defense.
I'm looking at a list of some of his draft picks. C-Dot, I don't know, man. This is bad.
Neither one of them are good,
both of them are bad.
That's fair.
Yeah. I've got one more for you guys. BK, hit my theme music. I need my theme music again to give you part two of the Carrington Random Hypothetical Button Game. All right. Your team is down 28-24. Mm-hmm. 2:15 left. One timeout. Your team is on the 30. They've got to go 70 yards to score a touchdown.
All right, 28-24. How much time again?
2:15.
Okay.
You've got one timeout.
One timeout.
You're on the 30. You've got to go 70 yards.
Own 30. Okay.
Who would you rather have at quarterback? Derek Carr or Joe Flacco? Joe Flacco or Derek Carr? I know how much you love Derek Carr.
Yeah, this is easy for me.
You love Derek Carr.
I love me some Derek
Carr. Like he's
Carr.
One of your own.
I really do. I got Derek Carr's back all the time.
I'm starting to think that maybe Derek Carr is like 5'9". I just didn't know he was that short because you love Derek Carr more than any person not in Oakland, California.
Yeah, man, I'll take Derek Carr on that for sure. I think Flacco's done. I've tried to defend Flacco for years, and I just can't do it anymore. Derek Carr is my guy. I think Derek Carr still has some tread on the tire. I don't think Flacco does.
All right, BK. You got to go 70 yards. You only got one timeout, but you do have the two-minute warning. You got to score a touchdown. Who would you rather have be your quarterback, Carr or Flacco?
Give me Derek Carr. Joe Flacco's trash, man. I looked this up earlier today. There's literally only one quarterback in the NFL that's been worse than Joe Flacco over the last 5 years. His name's Blake Bortles. So give me Derek Carr. He's terrible.
I'm just laughing at Joe how Flacco, mad the text line is for this question.
Joe Flacco got paid, and he just shut it down, didn't he?
He won a Super Bowl and then has been terrible ever since.
He got paid after he won a Super Bowl.
You know who Joe Flacco is? Joe Flacco was like the embodiment of the Royals over the last 4 years. Like 2014 and 2015 was really good. It ain't been so hot since then.
Is Joe Flacco elite was a legitimate question at one point.
It was.
Yeah.
That was an amazing summer of 2015 that we were debating. Or it was later than that. That we were debating if Joe Flacco was an elite quarterback.
It was 2013.
And then people were mad if you were like, no, he's Joe Flacco. That was a great time in NFL history. All right.
Who you got, Cena?
I mean, come on. You know I ain't picking Derek Carr. Okay. I think Derek Carr's a bum.
Wait, really? You're picking Joe Flacco?
You killed Joe Flacco more than just about any other quarterback of the league.
I mean, I would just run the ball just repeatedly because I don't think – I mean, both of them are probably throwing an interception. I don't. I legitimately don't know if Derek Carr can throw the ball consistently farther than 8 yards down the field.
Well, Derek Carr, did you not see what he did to the Chiefs a couple of years ago in Oakland when Amari Cooper had like 758 yards?
I mean, we don't have a time machine in this random hypothetical.
I'm just asking. You said you didn't know if he could throw it 8 yards. I saw what he did to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go back pre-injury Derek Carr, post-injury Derek Carr. I don't know if you saw his little – I know you don't look at advanced stuff. His little spray chart from this season.
Yeah, not good.
He's like.
But see, that's the biggest thing, though.
I don't want anybody who is Alex Smith light. Like, Alex Smith is already light enough. I don't want diet Alex Smith. Look at Derek Carr last year and throwing. I mean, sometimes he wouldn't complete a pass farther than 7 yards down the field. At least Flacco. Flacco will at least give me a chance of.
But
I'm going to throw it 40 yards down the field. Maybe I get a pass interference.
He's the best at that. And now there's nobody better than Joe Flacco.
And now you guys understand why I don't want John Gruden picking quarterbacks and want him around him. I'm telling you, man, Gruden is not a good guy with quarterbacks. He micromanages. His plays take 38 seconds for him to call. I don't want Gruden around quarterbacks. I don't care. He had some neat little TV show on ESPN.
All right, we'll go to the phone line. We'll take two calls on this. Brett, all right, you got to go 70 yards. You got a timeout and the two-minute warning. Who would you rather have be your quarterback, Derek Carr or Joe Flacco? Brett, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, who you got, Flacco or Carr?
Got to go with Carr. Flacco sucks, man.
That's, I mean, short and sweet. I appreciate
that. I respect that, man.
I mean, just he sucks. I mean, you're right. I can't argue anything you said. Yeah. All right, Rick, you're the last one we're taking on this one. Who you got?
I got to go with Flacco. Carr sucks.
And, hey, listen, short to the point, right? The delivery was there. He sold it, right? I mean, I think
he absolutely sold it. I can't fault that at all. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Brad's favorite person in the world right now, Ian Kennedy. Coming up next is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Right now, there's a poll up on our Twitter account. Your team is 2-14. You have the number one overall pick. You need a quarterback. Who would you rather have as the general manager of your team, Gruden or Elway? I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the results. 71% of people have voted for John Gruden. 29% of people have voted for John Elway. The other question is your team is down 24-20. You have one timeout remaining. You're on your own 30. Who would you rather have as your quarterback, Carr or Flacco? You guys have gone for Derek Carr. I've gone for Joe Flacco just because I think he can throw the ball longer than 10 yards. Flacco is winning 52-48%. It's locked up in a tight one between Flacco and Carr.
I think that's just because
Chiefs both of them stink, though. I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Both of them stink.
I think Carr's got more left than Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco got paid and he shut her down.
If coach, quarterback, and GM are the three most important things in an NFL organization, and I believe that to be the case, the Raiders and the Broncos are in a bad place right now.
Yeah, they are absolutely. There's no denying that they are in a bad place. Speaking of a bad place, so we were having the conversation earlier of whose contract is worse. Is it Ian Kennedy's contract or Alex Gordon's contract? I think it's Kennedy's contract because Gordon is still a top defender, and I kind of think that from a PR standpoint, the Royals kind of had to do the deal. Like, the Royals, I think, still had the perception of them being a little bit cheap and that they wouldn't spend the money to retain their own, so they kind of had to do the deal with Alex Gordon, especially coming off the 2015 World Series. They didn't have to do the Ian Kennedy deal. He was an average player that wasn't one of your own guys. Mm-hmm. I think if we can go back, I'd much rather them had just kept these $70 million and just given it to Mike Moustakas. If I could just go back in time, I'd much rather them do that deal than sign Ian Kennedy. Let me throw this at you. What if the answer of the worst contract Dayton Moore has signed is Ian Kennedy? Because I'm thinking of which ones would be comparable. Because I remember, and Dayton rarely says things like this, he called the Omar Infante contract a mistake.
Yeah.
The Omar Infante contract, in retrospect, is not that bad. Now, I'm not going to say that it's very good, and I think we all know what Omar Infante turned into, but the Omar Infante contract, if we're talking about in the basis of just baseball money, is not a bad deal at all. What was it, 4 years, $32 million deal? That's a nothing contract in baseball. Now, it did not work out. and eventually led them to go out and then go get Ben Zobrist.
See, that's what I was going to say right there. Like, that's the thing, because they had to make deals to cover up a bad contract for Omar Infante. I don't think the money thing's the worst part of it. It's the fact that they had to go out and trade for Ben Zobrist and give up draft picks to do it.
But I would
give up, what, I think Sean Manaea was in that deal,
mm-hmm.
who went out and pitched a no-hitter for Oakland last year. And you gave up a first-round draft pick, starting pitcher, that made it to the bigs and threw a no-no.
But I would argue that the Omar Infante contract at 4 years, $30 million, did nothing to really hinder. If you think about it, Ian Kennedy is going to make more money over the next two seasons than Omar Infante did over the length of the deal. There was a time that Omar Infante was good in the deal. Then he got hit with the baseball, and then he was never the same after it. So for, I would say, 10, 15% of the deal, it wasn't that bad. Now, the second half of it was bad. But the Omar Infante contract did not stop you from moving forward as an organization. You were still able to win in 14, still able to win in 15. I'm looking at this Ian Kennedy contract. Over the next two seasons, to pay him $33 million is a terrible deal. Think about what we think the payroll is going to be for this team. How much money are they going to spend? What, 12% of their 12% of this team's payroll is going to be tied up into Ian Kennedy's deal?
Yeah, it's not good.
And he can't even be a starter for you? I wonder, in a quiet moment, or maybe when Ian Kennedy's off the team and you ask him, what would you say your biggest free agent mistake was? I think you, Dayton, tells you the answer is this Ian Kennedy deal. If we go back to it, from Heyman reports to Passan reports to Ken Rosenthal reports, the Royals have been trying to trade out of that Ian Kennedy contract the moment that they signed it. Remember, that first trade deadline which they had the deal back in 2016, there were rumors about the Royals trying to get that out of the Ian Kennedy deal. They've known that's a bad contract this entire time, Fanny.
Let me put it to you this way. This goes back to the Omar Infante deal. Like, if Omar Infante works out, maybe you don't even have to sign Ian Kennedy because of the domino effect of that. I mean, Sean Manaea made his major league debut in 2016. I mean, he started 24 games that year. So you essentially had him for the majority of the season. If you know you got Sean Manaea coming up, do you even have to make the deal for Ian Kennedy? So my point is, if Infante works out, you don't have to trade Manaea for Zobrist. And then if that's the case, then you still got Sean Manaea in your system, and he comes up and he starts 24 games and appears in 25.
But if you don't trade for Ben Zobrist, you probably don't win the World Series.
That's a possibility, too.
I mean, that dude was an absolute stud in the postseason.
That's true. That's true as well, but I don't know. Right now, from a financial standpoint, obviously the Ian Kennedy deal is bad. Because I think one of the other things, too, that frustrates me with the Ian Kennedy deal is that the Royals weren't paying top dollar for starting pitching. Edinson Volquez wasn't making a ton of money. You know, and he was a really, really good starter in that rotation. And I think that's one of those things where they might have got a little bit greedy and said, hey, we're going to pay top dollar for an innings eater. We're going to get him here. We're going to pay the extra money to make sure we get him to take one more crack at this thing in 2016. They got away from who they are, you know, when they paid that big money to starters. So, yeah, I don't think it's a quiet moment. I think Dayton definitely looks back and says it's a bad deal.
I'll disagree with you a little bit. I don't think the Royals got away from who they are. I think the Royals tried to make all of us happy. But I think if we can go back, and if you're really honest with yourself, the Royals should have ended in 2015. The writing was kind of on the wall.
Yeah, but they couldn't do that.
I know, but I'm saying is none of us believed it.
Yeah.
They went to the World Series in 2014. They won the World Series in 2015. We're all riding high. Think about how, we would agree, how better positioned they would be in 2019 if at the end of 2015 they tell you, hey, we had a really good run those 2 years, but it's over. We got to start
thinking for the future. They could have done that.
They couldn't do it.
No.
So they went out.
And they shouldn't have done it.
And they went out and they signed an Ian Kennedy contract, and then they structured it to try to capitalize on that window in 2016 because Dayton talked about it openly. Ned talked about it openly. David Glass talked about it openly. We got a chance to go to three World Series in a row, and everybody was for it. So I'm not now playing the hindsight game. Everybody was for it. That deal ended up not working for him in 2016. That team was incredibly average. They were 500 mm-hmm. last year, and then the last year of it, they eventually had
86 wins, I think, didn't they? I think in 16, and then they were like 500 the next year.
Then the next year, they didn't do anything, mm-hmm. and then that was it. If the Royals, now going back, if you could see the future, if you could go back and see it, that was the deal that they stretched. I don't think they stretched for Alex Gordon.
I don't either.
They stretched for Ian Kennedy. They were looking at it of, let's try to do everything we can to capitalize in 16 and 17, and Ian Kennedy can be part of that. We need a starter. Let's go grab Ian Kennedy because we can't turn to our fan base and say that we're not trying to keep this ball rolling. Now, looking back on it, they should have said, at least at the Ian Kennedy contract, no. Because, again, they front-loaded the deal, and then they back-loaded it, where now, when they're, I think, expected to be bad, or at least expected that their roster was going to be a little different, you could absorb paying Ian Kennedy $16.5 million. You can absorb paying Alex Gordon $20 million. Those are two awful, crippling contracts for this organization.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not defending the Ian Kennedy contract at all, but, I mean, you've got to plan for bad deals in pro sports, especially in baseball, right? I mean, that's part of it. I mean, there are bad deals all over the place, not just in Kansas City. I mean, obviously, the first one that pops to mind is Miguel Cabrera, who's going to be making God knows how much money, $30 million until he's like 45. I'm exaggerating here, but if you go look it up, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's bad deals all over baseball. I think part of the deal is you have to overpay to get guys. And I think that's one of the reasons why baseball is rebelling against, you know, big-time contracts. They're rebelling against the Mike Moustakas's, and they're rebelling against the deal that Haas got from he only had one offer from the Padres. And so I think when they signed him, it was a different time when you're like, hey, man, that's what it costs. You always talk about what it costs for a quarterback. It's what it costs for a starting pitcher. You needed one. You think you had one more shot at it. I don't fault him for doing the deal, but in hindsight, yeah, it doesn't look good.
But I would say, though, with Ian Kennedy, though, it's not like Ian Kennedy is a surprise. Like, sometimes when you get the best choice over the name brand, you're expecting to get a little bit lesser quality. Like, you go into it. Like, sometimes you get what you pay for. They got exactly what they expected with Ian Kennedy. He's average. Like, they paid 4 years, $70 million for an average pitcher. And then were acting surprised the moment that he showed him he was average. There was nothing in his pro baseball reference. There was nothing from a number standpoint to suggest that Ian Kennedy was going to be a whole lot better. But I think the Royals thought, what a lot of people think.
They overpaid for innings is what they paid for.
And then I think an organization like the Royals were, everything we do works right now. All we got to do is just bring you into this ballpark with this defense, and you'll be good. That didn't help Ian Kennedy. He is the same pitcher. If anything, if you go back and look at his baseball reference page, he has been worse at every stop. He's gotten worse as he's gotten older, like most professional athletes do. So, like, nothing is surprising by what's happening to Ian Kennedy's contract. You paid for an average pitcher. You got an average pitcher.
So then why are we cracking on the Royals for wanting to put him in the bullpen and try something different with him to see if they can create value and at least get use out of him? You know? I mean, it's not working.
Because to me, paying him like he's Aroldis Chapman is a terrible, like, just a terrible money strategy.
But again, I think what they're trying to do, and I'm with you, like, you're trying to make the best out of a bad situation right now. That's what the Royals, at least it appears to me, I don't know this to be fact, okay? But it appears to me that they're trying to make the best of a bad situation by, like, okay, Ian Kennedy's probably at some point going to break down if we have him as a starter. Because that's what happens. Even though his first year, he almost gave you 200 innings, which is kind of what you were looking for. And the Royals had a lot of injuries that year, which is probably the biggest reason why they didn't end up going back to the playoffs. But I think they're trying to create value for Ian Kennedy by saying, hey, listen, if we can take some of the workload off him by putting him in the bullpen, not using him as much, I wonder if a team that's in contention at the deadline could come in and make a deal for him. We'll probably have to eat, you know, a large percentage of the money that we still owe him, of the $33 million that we still owe him. But at the same time, if we can get at least part of that off the books, create value with him, maybe we got something.
Coming up in just a little bit, you think that John Elway has morphed into Carl Peterson. We'll get into that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll get Brad the Love Doctor's Valentine's Day tips to help you get ready for the big day tomorrow. Someone on the text line, they've asked a pretty good question. Text line 69306. CDOT, do you think the Royals really believe they can contend for the division this year? If they felt they couldn't, I would think they would just leave Kennedy in the rotation, hope he has flashes of being good so they can trade him into a contender. Maybe I'm just different than everybody else, and maybe I'm just being Buzz Killington with this. I just don't want the Royals to operate like they think they can contend for the division this year, because I don't think that's very realistic for them. So my biggest frustration with Ian Kennedy is when he was sold to us when they first signed him, it was to eat innings. So you're not even now using him for it. And whenever they get rid of Ian Kennedy, I don't know when that's going to be. Might be in 3 days, might be in 3 months. Maybe he stays here for the rest of these 2 years. No team is taking on that contract without you eating a big portion of it.
Yeah.
So, if anything, you're just buying time until a team likes you, and then you're paying less money. But, I mean, it's baseball. You owe him $33 million whether he pitches another inning for you or he pitches the next 400 innings for you. You owe him $33 million. So, if you don't think Ian Kennedy is in your long-term plans, then, man, you got to be willing to eat $25 million, send him on somewhere else, and then hope you can get a draft pick or a player to be named later and turn that player into something. But that Ian Kennedy money at this point, that is just a sunk cost for the Royals.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're trying to do. And I think they're going to try to add value and turn him into a reliever. I mean, the guy's not getting any younger either. I mean, how old is Ian Kennedy now? mean, he's got to be, what, early, mid-30s? He's getting up there. I mean, he's been in the big leagues for a long time, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I think that's exactly what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to make Ian Kennedy worth something, and I think they'd be willing to eat a bunch of that contract if they got a draft pick back and they had to pay for part of it and got him off the books.
So I want to play this for you. This is from Matt Verderam, friend of mine. He is from FanSided. He thinks that John Elway is a lot like Carl Peterson.
I get Elway doesn't want to rebuild. It's not in his DNA. He's not going to do that. He's very much in the same mindset Carl Peterson had for years in Kansas City, where it was, look, we can fix this, we can patch it up, we can get a few really good years somehow out of it. But again, I just look at the AFC West and say, I don't know where they're going. Are they better than Oakland? Yeah. Are they even in the same stratosphere as the Chiefs right now? Or even the Chargers? No, they're not. And I just think this trade kind of puts them into a corner.
Yeah, I think John Elway is trying to do exactly what Carl Peterson was trying to do. And guess what happened? He didn't win anything. I mean, you got to an AFC title game with Joe Montana. You know, I'll give Elway this. You went after a Hall of Fame veteran quarterback to get you by, and that at least got you to two Super Bowls and one you won. Carl didn't get to that point. But if you go down and you look at what Elway's doing compared to what Carl Peterson did back in the 90s, and I'm certainly not – I'm not speaking poorly of Carl Peterson here, and I want to make sure that that's clear, because I think what Carl Peterson did is play a huge role in making Kansas City a football town and getting us to where we are now. Because in the 70s and the 80s, the Chiefs were god awful, and nobody cared about that football team. Carl Peterson showed up, and everything changed. But let's look at some of the names of quarterbacks that, you know, that John Elway has had, these bridge guys. I mean, you've had Trevor Siemian, you drafted Paxton Lynch, you've had Brock Osweiler, drafted a dude named Zach Dysart. That sounds an awful lot like a Chiefs draft pick by the name of Mark Vlasic to me. I mean, you didn't want to invest heavily in the draft when it came to getting a quarterback. I'll give Elway this.
Elway's done that, though.
That's what I was going to say. I'll give Elway this. At least he tried. He just missed. Like, Carl Peterson wasn't willing to do it. And I'm not exactly sure. I still don't know to this day why they didn't do it. I think it may have been a mandate from up top after they got burned in 1983 with the Todd Blackledge thing. But, I mean, Carl Peterson... He got the Chiefs to 11 playoffs games, got you some wins. But you had Elvis Gerback and Steve Bono and Dave Craig and Steve DeBerg, Trent Green and Joe Montana in there. Okay, and it didn't get you over the top. I guess what I'm saying here, and the reason I agree with what we just heard, is that what John Elway's doing right now is not going to win you a Super Bowl. What Carl Peterson did back then is not going to win you a Super Bowl. I could at least justify what Carl Peterson did because there was a lack of interest in the Kansas City Chiefs when he took over the franchise. And John Elway, he's got a loyal fan base. I mean, he's got a great fan base in Denver. That's a great football city. So that's the part that I don't get with what he's trying to do.
I think that Elway is doing exactly what people wanted the Chiefs to do for 30 years. I was in Kansas City. All I heard was take a chance, draft a quarterback, take a chance. Elway might not be going about it the right way. Obviously, he's gotten it wrong. There's one thing you cannot say about the Broncos, that they have not been aggressive at trying to find the quarterback. They've been as aggressive as any team in the NFL in trying to find it. They've been taking shots and shots at the quarterback position, just haven't gotten it right. I've been saying it. I think that we got to wait just a little bit to see what their next plan is. You guys are right. I think that Joe Flacco stinks. I think that Joe Flacco is done. But if this is Joe Flacco plus Drew Locke, Carl Peterson never did that. Tell me the last time. Tell me when Carl Peterson invested in a quarterback like Drew Locke high in the NFL draft.
He never did.
Not one single time in this. You know, this kind of reminds me of, I think everybody has this friend. Did you have that friend in college who was the going out all the time guy? Get drunk all the time guy. Chased all the women in the world. But now he's got a good job. He got, you know, cleaned up his act a little bit. You see him, you barely recognize the guy. Now he's like, well, hold on, I got bedtime at 9:30. You're like, hold on, you used to be the guy. We used to tear the club up. We used to have to shut down the bar when you came in. That's how Chiefs fans are acting. It wasn't too long ago that you guys were clamoring for your quarterback. Now you got your quarterback, and now you're acting brand new towards Denver. That's what I kind of think is happening here, because it wasn't too long ago. I remember when, and you remember this too, that Kansas City wanted Tony Romo. Yes, the same guy right now calling games for CBS. Kansas City wanted Geno Smith. Kansas City was sitting here arguing.
Don't put that on Kansas City.
Kansas City was out here arguing for Ryan Mallett. There was a time.
Wanted Geno Smith, but
it wasn't that long ago that Kansas City was trying to find their forever quarterback, too. And now you got him. I'm happy we got Patrick Mahomes. I would be worried about with the Broncos. You keep taking all these shots. Eventually, you get it right. Maybe they get it right. Maybe Drew Locke's the one. Maybe Kyler Murray is the one. Because if we know anything, it is that Elway will continue to search and search and search and take shot after shot after shot to find a quarterback. He's shown me this. Hell, Brandon gave the list earlier. He named off 7 quarterbacks in the last 2 years. It's not like Elway's not trying to find the right quarterback. He just keeps getting it wrong.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs did draft Matt Blunden with the 40th overall pick in 1992. So, I mean, they sort of dipped their...
Tried Brody Croyle, too. That worked out.
That worked out great, too. Yeah, but I'm talking in the Carl Peterson, you know, era. So, was Brody Croyle a Carl Peterson guy, too?
Mm-hmm.
Was he? Okay, well, never mind then.
See, text line 69306. How about the Browns? They've taken shots at quarterback, too. And eventually the Browns got it right.
Well, we think they
you
got
think,
it right.
You think.
Yeah, you
but
think.
You think the Browns got it right? I mean, if I was a Browns fan, I'd be through the moon right now. We got Baker Mayfield. We got a good young quarterback we can build around for the next 8 years.
The one thing that John Elway's done that Carl Peterson didn't do, and it's a really good point, he's willing to gamble. I think part of the reason, and this is pure speculation on my part, but you can hang on to your job with bridge quarterbacks for 3-4 years at a time. That's great job security because that means you're going to compete for a title in the division, more than likely, if you have the right guy. You're going to win 8, 9, 10 games if you have the right guy, if you've got that veteran that you can bring in. And that's kind of what the Chiefs did in the 1990s. But what didn't happen is getting to the big game, you know, is getting to the Super Bowl, is getting to multiple AFC championship games. That never happened. Listen, Elway is being more aggressive when he's drafting quarterbacks, but he's getting it wrong, and it's costing him now. And now you're having to bring in Case Keenum. And then you're having to start Trevor Siemian. And then you trade for Joe Flacco. And then you still got another top 10 pick. I mean, it's which would you rather have your team be? Would you rather have had your team be the 1990s Chiefs, where you went to a bunch, you went to 11 playoff games, you got to an AFC title game, or be the current Denver Broncos in what they're doing right now?
I'd rather be the Broncos. The Broncos are trying to be great. Again, the Broncos are being what Chiefs fans wanted their organization to be for 30 years. I mean, I know that now it's different because you got Mahomes. Man, people look down on the 90s Chiefs years. People look down on the 2000 years. People look of, man, I wanted them for so long. I said, get quarterback X. I look at the organization. I look at the organization that took Derek Johnson over Aaron Rodgers, where Elway, we agree, Elway would take Aaron Rodgers and not Derek Johnson. We agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let me ask you this, though, man. Like, Carl Peterson he couldn't afford to lose and miss on a draft pick at quarterback like Elway can. Elway won you Super Bowls, took you to 5 of them, got you Peyton Manning. Like, Elway can afford to go out there. He has the political capital to go out there and miss when he drafts quarterbacks. When Carl Peterson took over in Kansas City, he didn't have that. Because you want to talk about scar tissue.
He was the general manager for 18 years. Well, you're telling me not one of those years he couldn't draft a quarterback 17th overall?
Here's what I'm telling you. You're talking about Carrington. Like, I lived in the 70s and the 80s, man. Like, nobody cared about Chiefs football. At all,
I'm saying.
Talking about scar tissue from 1983 when the Chiefs missed on quarterback in the greatest quarterback draft class of all time.
You're telling Carl me Peterson in 2002 they couldn't draft a quarterback because they never did.
I'm not talking about 2000. Yeah.
You're telling me in 1999 they couldn't draft a quarterback.
No,
because of scar tissue.
They,
from 1983.
They weren't willing to do it. They weren't willing to go there. And I think Carl Peterson got to a point. This is my feeling and my feeling only that hey. Why roll the dice? Why do that when I can get this guy? When I can get Elvis Gerback and I know exactly what I'm going to get out of him. When I can go get Steve Bono, I know what I'm going to get out of him. When I can get Rich Gannon as my backup, I know what I'm going to get out of him. When I can go get Dave Craig for a year and I got a chance to go get Montana, I'll go get that guy instead of having to draft and develop a guy. I'm just telling you, early on in the Carl Peterson tenure, man, if he went after a quarterback and he did it with – gosh, they had Harvey Williams with the 21st overall pick in 1991, and they had the 13th pick with Percy Snow in 1990. If they went out there and took a quarterback and missed, there's no telling where this town would have gone if they missed on a quarterback and invested in a young quarterback and missed. John Elway can miss because John Elway's John Elway, one of the greatest of all time, and went to 5 Super Bowls and won 2.
I'm just saying is if we look through the history of the NFL – very few teams have done it the way the Chiefs tried to do it.
I agree with you.
Teams have done it the way the Broncos are trying to do it. A lot of teams have done it the way the Broncos are trying to do it.
That part I don't dispute. I'm just trying to tell you where the organization in the city was with football at the time that Carl Peterson took over.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just arguing that Carl Peterson was the general manager for longer than that. I mean, Carl Peterson was the general manager in the mid-2000s. At some point, they could have jumped out the window and take a quarterback, and they didn't take a quarterback for 17 years.
But I also thought that they thought that they were close to getting through. And if you're that close, do you want to take a high draft pick on that and have to develop a guy? I feel like they almost got too far into this thing and then couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that shows you the difference in somebody like Carl Peterson and then somebody like Brett Veach, John Dorsey, and Andy Reid. Because the Chiefs were close with Alex Smith and they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and now you're closer because you drafted a better quarterback. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll take advice from Brad the Love Doctor. Coming up next, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll give you a code word. You can piece together with the other code words. You can win a prize. Coming up tomorrow,
big prize.
Tomorrow, a huge prize. $400 to Santa Fe Auto Sound.
Mm-hmm.
You can win that. We'll also get back into K-State. We'll get back into Ian Kennedy. We'll get back into a little Chiefs. There's a lot happening right now in the NFL. If you miss it, the breaking news of the day in the NFL. Joe Flacco. Oh, I can't wait for those Mahomes and Flacco battles on Monday Night Football. It's going to be legendary. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But we are now less than 24 hours away from Valentine's Day. I believe we're going to have Rex Huddler in studio tomorrow, him and Jennifer. I believe so. You know,
it's a Valentine's Day tradition.
You know how Hud is, though. Hud will be like, yeah, I'll do it. And then tomorrow he'll be like, oh, something came up. So I don't know. But we're hoping on having Hud tomorrow. But
I met Hud for the first time today. Just a fantastic experience.
He's great, isn't it?
He's the best thing about Hud, and I've heard other people say this before, but I didn't. Obviously, without experiencing it, you can't say it yourself. He legitimately is the same dude off air that you hear on the radio or on the broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He's ball energy, man. He's the best.
No, Hud is a fantastic person. I'll tell you the story of when I met Hud for the first time. It was I remember my first time meeting Hud. So, who cares about Hud when we got Brad the Love Doctor checking in?
So I got some more great tips from Dr. B to make your V-Day have a very happy ending, BK. Number one today.
I like how you get your sexy voice on towards Brandon. Like that?
I'm just like confused by it.
Yesterday he called you babe. That was all time.
I try to creep him out, man. Is it working, BK?
Yeah. I've got a... I'm going to be taking a trip to HR later.
Is it working, buddy? Am I creeping you? Number one, start early tomorrow while you're both at work and shoot off a few of those racy texts to your lady. Because I think you need to set the mood and you need to set the tone for the evening. Get a little bit sexy with those texts. I would say get close to the line, depending on who your wife is. Maybe cross that line via text, if you know what I'm saying. Some racy texting to get her in the mood for the evening, C-Dot.
I mean, depends on how about your lady. You know, you know your lady better than me. I would say is that's something you and your lady, you know if she's the one to talk spicy to.
Yeah.
You know if she's the one. If that's not you, if that's not normally what you do, don't try to all of a sudden on Valentine's Day that normally you're at a 2 or 3 when it comes to the spice meter.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to turn it up to a 9. Stay in your lane. You know, I'm a big believer that everybody's got a role, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want Mitch Lightfoot shooting threes.
Yeah. Or Marcus Garrett.
You don't want
that. Or Quentin Grimes.
Everybody's got a role to play. If you're a 2 or 3 on the spice meter, maybe turn it up to a 4.
Yeah.
Maybe do something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Don't try to become a different person.
Yeah. You don't want to go way over the top.
That'd be my strategy.
But I'm telling you, on Valentine's Day, set the tone early with a few racy texts to your lady over the course of the day. Number two, get a room, man. Get a room. Secretly pack a bag for your wife or your girl tonight. If you're married, you go pawn the kids off of the grandparents, set that thing up. Go get a hotel room. My wife and I, we got one of those newly renovated amazing suites at the Westin the night of the Ed Sheeran concert. But if you don't have to go, if you don't want to go super high end, I don't blame you. You got a lot of options out there, some good hotel rooms. But go to a different locale, man, and surprise her with her. It's just you and her. Tell her to meet you for a cocktail somewhere after work. And then you tell her that you've got a surprise for her. You take her to the hotel room. You've been sending the racy texts all day. And now you got a room. You're off site. The kids are not a problem. They're with the grandparents. And you're set up. So you got a little racy during the day. You got a hotel room for the night. And you're good to go. What do you think of that, Tipsy?
I am not married. But if you're not going to go high end, just do something at home. I don't think Bae wants to go to the Red Roof Inn.
No, you
know
can't go
mean?
There. You can't go there. It's got to be like a Spring Hill Suites you can get away with. You know, maybe you could go downtown. You know, you can find some spots that aren't overly, you know, that aren't too over the top. There's good, like you could find good beds and good hotel rooms at a lot of different places now.
Courtyard. Go Courtyard.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to go probably, what, $100, $150 probably to do it right. but it's your lady and it's Valentine's Day. And I'm trying to get you a happy ending.
I would consider $150 a little bit high end, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, you got to go, you don't want to roll the
dice.
KC,
80 to 100 sounds about right.
I would consider that high.
I mean, if you go downtown, it's probably going to be, what, 150 for a good one down there?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's worth it for you and your lady.
And just, I mean, if you've got to do all that, I mean, I'm not a woman, but just take me somewhere to eat nice. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired of you making.
That's a given.
I'm tired of you making tacos. I'm tired of you getting takeout. I'm tired of having to cook for you all the time. If you're planning on spending $150 for us to do something we could just do right here at the home for free, mm-hmm. I'd rather you just take us somewhere to a really nice place. Well, go to a Fogo de Chao. Go to M. Chama's. Have you a great meal.
There's a lot more things to do than eat on Valentine's Day, Cito. No, that's where I'm trying to take this. Finally, I've given you a bunch of do's this week. Now here's a couple of don'ts. First off, don't forget tomorrow. Don't forget Valentine's Day. It sounds simple, but some dudes do it.
I would say go ahead and right now center that text and say tomorrow is just a normal day. Go ahead and do that right now.
Tell them tomorrow that you're going to forget about Valentine's Day if you're going to do it. But even if you don't celebrate it or make a big deal about it, here's the thing that I do know.
I don't celebrate that man-made holiday. Go ahead and tell her that
but
right now.
Here's the thing, though, C-Dot. Here's the mistake you're making, dude. Even if you don't celebrate, even if you guys both agree to not celebrate Valentine's Day, trust me when I tell you this. You got to at least acknowledge it. And let her know how important she is and how much you care about her.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're her Valentine. Like, you don't have to do a big deal about it, but you just can't act like it's not happening. Because you know what? It's happening for a lot of her friends. All right? A lot of people in her life are celebrating Valentine's Day. So you have to at least let her know that you're her Valentine.
I'm going to tell you this, ladies out there. I know out of the 9 people listening right now, 2 of you are women. If your husband or boyfriend doesn't celebrate Valentine's Day, you need to find a new one. He doesn't deserve you. That's it. He doesn't deserve you. Celebrating Valentine's Day is the easiest thing in the world.
You know what Speck said he's doing?
The easiest thing in the world.
You know what Speck said he's doing for his fiance? I go, what are you doing, man? I'm putting my tips together.
I wouldn't do this right now if I was you.
He goes, I'm getting her one of those bundt cakes. And I'm like, that's it? I'm like, you're getting her a bundt cake? I'm like, Speck, I'm not using that, man. I'm not going there.
He just got her a ring 3 months ago.
Doesn't matter, bro.
From Shane Company.
Doesn't matter.
Go online at shaneco.com or 135th and Metcalf. Where I would advise you to go for Valentine's Day, to be completely honest with you.
You know, for the guys.
Or Gates. I mean, you'd get her an amazing meal at Gates.
The presidential platter?
Of course. Actually, she might be insulted that you think she can eat all that, so I don't get her that.
Hey, for the guys out there, you know what the gift that keeps on giving for V-Day, don't you?
I would just give her the mixed plate.
The low T center. Go there. I can hook you up with that. Two other don'ts. Don't go obvious cheap on Valentine's Day if you're going to do it.
Yeah, like writing letters.
No. That you can get away with. It's heartfelt. Here's a couple examples. Don't go Binkley and give out lotto tickets or flashlights to your girl.
I'm trying to help you win.
Bad
money.
Idea.
Trying to help you win a little paper.
Yeah. BK, are you looking at me like...
That happened, bro. That's real. That's a true story.
Binkley's universal gift for just about anything is a lotto ticket. Doesn't matter if it's Valentine's Day or Christmas.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too.
And finally, don't procrastinate, man. Don't wait until tomorrow to get your plan in place. Like, that's big. Because you're going to fail. You're going to be in a hurry. It's going to be a mess. If you haven't started working on it now, start now. Get it done tonight. And then you're in place and you're ready to go. Those are Dr. B's love tips.
Text line 69306. These are my favorite people. Carrington, it's Valentine's Day. Literally every day for these women. I would maybe avoid calling them these women. Why do I need, or should I say, why do we need to spend all of this money on one day just to show this person we care about them and we love them? What about the other 364 days a year?
You know, there's a 100% chance that person is single. 100%
chance. You know what we're not going to do? We're not going to all lives matter Valentine's Day.
Hey, you know what?
That's not what we're going
to
do.
See, now, this takes me back to a tip that I gave a couple of years ago, and it came from the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Somebody out here from the 91C says, text her mom tomorrow. Solid move.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Especially if it's your mother-in-law. Hey, happy, you know, hey, ma, you know, hey, happy Valentine's Day. All that stuff. Here's the other one, BK, and Carrington made fun of me for this forever, and it's a solid one. And I'm glad that I saw that text because it reminds me of it. If you're dating her and she's got a pet, bring the pet a little tiny, like, milk bone, Valentine's Day gift, put a little ribbon on something. I'm telling you, dude, it works like a charm because it means that you're thinking about more than just her. You're thinking about all of her life. And take care of that pet, too. You don't have to spend a ton of money on it. You can get something cheap. But guys out there know what I'm talking about. I'm glad that texture came in. Give a little Sparky, little scraps, you know. Give the cat, bring the cat a little something. Bring scraps a little milk bone, a little ribbon on it. Happy Valentine's Day.
You know, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it another buck with you. If you're dating a girl and her dog's name is Scraps, stay away from her. That's not somebody you want to be with. I mean, I can tell you who not to date. Any woman that has named her dog Scraps,
you have experience?
Is yeah. not somebody. I told you, Brad, I don't know if you know this or not. I would never date a girl who calls herself a dog mom. That's not somebody. A pet owner is one thing. A dog mom, I don't need that. See, I got a long list of women I'm not talking to out here. You guys are out here all willy-nilly buying catnip and all that foolishness.
That's next week's 445 segment.
Yeah, yeah.
If her pet's name is Scraps, I'm telling you, run. Stick around in 2 minutes. We'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Joe Flacco traded to the Broncos. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.